To answer is human. To question is divine. Welcome to the world of the Hidden Gateway, an exhilarating podcast exploring the concepts humans have been struggling with since the dawn of existence, such as, who are we? Is there such a thing as good and evil, or are they arbitrary constructs? Does the paranormal exist? How can we evolve to a higher state? Can our mind influence what we term as reality? Providing a transcendental approach combined with hard-nosed humanistic analysis, we invite you on a journey to question your worldview in this theater of life. Join our host, Justin Williams, as he explores the outer realms of faith, the supernatural, human potential, and even our concepts of the universal creator with a fascinating array of guests. This is the unseen world, magical, mysterious, and mystical, where your only limitation is your imagination. This is the Hidden Gateway.
Hey everyone, my good friend Brandon Thomas, who is host of the amazing podcast show Expanding Reality, has a new venture going on. He has this thing called Expanding Reality Excursions, and his first event starts May 15th through May 20th, and it's called Befriending Bigfoot. Now, this is going to take place in North Georgia in the Blue Ridge Mountains. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and let him tell you all about it.
The haunting legends of a mighty Bigfoot have made man's blood run cold for centuries, some terrific and some terrifying. The Southern Appalachian Mountains whisper the mysteries of this strange and powerful creature through its smoky hills and ominous embrace. This is Brandon Thomas with Expanding Reality, elated to announce our very first Expanding Reality Excursions Befriending Bigfoot event. This is going to take place on a beautiful 27-acre ranch in Blairsville, Georgia, May 15th through the 20th. This intimate conference is going to feature Bigfoot adventure hikes in three different states, river kayaking, nightly presentations from such incredible presenters as Alexander Petikoff, Chris Matthew, Dave Zed, Preston Dennett, and many more. Also, we're going to be doing some UFO watching, some jam sessions, all kinds of hangouts. Visit expandingrealitypodcast.com/events for more information. That's expandingrealitypodcast.com/events. We'll see you there.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you back to another episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. As always, I am your host, Justin Williams. Today's guest journey is a testament to the exploration of interconnected worlds and the transformative power of bridging diverse experiences. She spent three decades delving into the depths of human motivations and behaviors and exploring her journey as an artist. After being a consultant and leading program creation at university, she found herself immersed in the operation of a refugee camp for 4 years, confronting the harsh realities of trauma, war, and loss. These experiences catalyzed her mission to guide individuals towards living authentically in alignment with the evolving global consciousness. Now, for the past 8 years, she has dedicated herself to the healing arts, specializing in sound healing, energy healing, and the exploration of the Akashic Records. She has authored three books that serve as bridges between science and spirituality, offering insights into the core issues humanity faces and the potential for personal and collective transformation. Iyana Okrug, welcome to the Hidden Gateway podcast. How you doing?
Thank you, Yasun. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Awesome, and thank you. So you are all the way in Sweden. I know we were talking before the before we hit record here, but Sweden. So good to have a guest from Sweden, I tell you. So as I said in the intro, you do so much. You do so much for humanity. So I want to know, you know, what got you to the point to where you are today? Obviously, you were a tennis coach and you spent years at university learning about human behaviors. What was it? Or what was that crucial moment or that pivot that you said, hey, I want to go in a different direction?
I think I already when I was five, I had the decision to be an artist. So I just catch school as someone who was interested in some subjects and some not. I didn't care about degree because I knew I would be an artist. And when I was 14, I already was both in school and a tennis coach. So when I was 19 and normally going out of, you know, out to next level of education, I already had my salary from tennis and could just explore with the art. And you know, later on, I traveled the world and I had a very, very good friend that I traveled with, and she got very sick and made suicide. And I was really going under and had a history of 10 years of hidden address. So it's also in the frame that of the healing, because I was only healing with minerals and sound. So it was in my background, but still I worked as an artist. And when I came to a certain place, I saw that I had some work in the city planning and as an artist, and I saw that all the ideas that didn't matter to the one who ruled. It was only their own position, and you know, it was just a play with it. So I couldn't continue to work with art as something that I did, because it was for making people more vivid, more alive. I felt that people were going into frames. So that has always been the line for me in all my life, to go, to the authenticity in people. So it's not like I shifted lines, but I had to work with people when I saw that this didn't work to work with the art as I did. So then when I worked in a corporate field was successful in it, I understood that it was needed so much more than just having this, you know, some teamwork one day and then continue into the corporate field. So then I had to go further. And then when I worked with the university to make entrepreneurship as a brand and also a knowledge that every course could take to make their knowledge into entrepreneurship. And I worked there for 3 years and then came to have a refugee camp. It was just a coincidence, but there are no coincidences, of course. So anyway, it's all about interest in authenticity of human being and our natural gifts of creation and the ability to stay 100% alive and not being, you know, into a system. Wow. So it's about the same all the time. It has just shifted the way, the techniques I use to try to come to the final point where I can do some difference, you know?
Very good. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I can tell, you know, the passion that you have for people, and I apologize to learn what happened to your good friend who you used to travel with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I also hear quite often from people that, who are aware of their higher calling, that they work in corporate, and then it becomes a point to where they realize this isn't it. It just doesn't do it for them anymore. And then they move on to other things.
Yeah.
And with you and your art, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, but it sounds like the art has kind of been a form of healing, not only for others, but for you as well over the years.
Absolutely.
That's correct.
Yeah, it was my lifeline when it was really dark. It was a wonderful, you know, it's also transformative. Even when there are demonic energies around, it's transformable into art. And it's you can always get something, everything that you have in your system into a material and creation. And it makes it a healing point.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, That's very interesting that you said, even with demonic energies, it's transformative into art, because I was literally having a conversation with someone this morning, and we were talking about trauma and low vibrational energies, which would be along the lines of maybe demonic energies, right? Yeah. And then we went on to talk about how we have the ability to take that low vibrational negative energy and somewhat recycle it into something positive, right?
Exactly.
It's like an energy exchange, right? Like we have that power, that ability to do so.
Yes, and it gets so powerful art because it's so much, you know, it's like coming through the tunnel of suffer, and when it's like that, nothing is anything but authentic. It's just so raw. When it's there, so there are no ego coming in. It's nothing else but the raw energy that bursts into new material. Yeah,
beautiful, absolutely beautiful. You know, I want to ask you about your time at the refugee camp. Now, you were the owner and operator of a refugee camp, and you know, I want to hear about your perspective on trauma and war and loss. What was that experience like?
Oh yeah, first of all. Yeah, I owned it together with my husband that I am now. And I worked half time, and we had a person that we rent to be there half time. So I was there 24/7 in 3.5 days, and the other was there the other 3.5 days. And so we slept there, being as a family with them. And for me, it was kind of similar situation as me living in a hidden address, but in another form. Because when I have a hidden address, I couldn't reach any of my old friends because they will be dangerous for them, you know. I couldn't move freely because I didn't know where I could be totally safe, and I had to. Leave my name behind, all my identity behind, leave the town that I lived. I lived in Stockholm, in a big town, have to go into countryside and then small other place. And they have done about the same. They have, you know, they have war, and they still have their families, but they come into a totally other place. Of life that they couldn't control. They have nothing. They have left everything, and of course their family could come later on. But the trauma was really having the family still there for people who didn't come all the family, but maybe the male came first, and their family was still there to come when he got the papers, so that they didn't have to come with a boat that was so dangerous to come with, and, you know, like that. So when I shared my story with them, or I shared my way of seeing life, and I think we had so much in common, so they felt very safe in the place. So I have very good, a very good experience to have with me to have a camp, because I could meet them exactly where they are and where they were. So trauma and suffer wasn't any new for me. And I didn't see them as victims. I just see them in a horrible situation. I never see a person as a victim, because we are not. That is very, very unempowering. To make someone a victim, but really to catch up their possibilities, but also have the firm frames of what is okay and what is not okay, because we were 14 nationalities in the same time, and people were coming and going, and to keep it as a family energy, it worked very well, because when we start having it, the people who live there wanted to have their only home that they have now in a safe place. Directly when they come, new refugees, They came there even if it was in the middle of the night and helped them carrying the bags into their rooms and, you know, invited them into the family energy. And all the kids were playing in the reception with me. That's a future for the family. You know, so seeing the kids having your little fight, having fun, drawing, painting, everything, it's like seeing the future and give them hope.
Oh, wow. That is so good. So good. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I think about, you know, what you experienced with, you know, traumatic loss with a best friend and then doing your good work at the refugee camp and helping people. So you're having these personal experiences in your life and then with other people as well. And when we talk about taking those things or those experiences and then recycling them into something even greater, essentially fast forward to the great work that you're doing today, right? You know, where you're helping people with healing. So it's almost like what you experienced in those experiences in the past, would it be correct to say that was a foundation, a setting?
Yeah.
To set you up to what you're doing today, right? And I want to get into what you're doing today.
And also the, you know, my subject that I really, is my core is divine duality. And it's to interpret duality in another way. If we see a life like mine that has had so many shifts in life, it seems too impossible to not be 120 years, you know, but it's just because I had never had one work separate with nothing else. I always have two or three works in the same time, and they always inspired the other and made, you know, the next path just got born in the between of two different works. And because I'm an artist, it's always just to catch the moment and to materialize it, you know? So it's kind of not skipping one thing and go to the next. It's more like an evolution of a state. And when it's come to have learned it enough, it comes to the next level. You know,
wow, yes.
It's like that.
That ascension, right?
Yeah.
So explain to me exactly what is divine duality, right? When I think about what's going on in the world today, I'd say maybe over the last 3 to 5 years, there's been this great awakening, right? Where people seem to be more conscious and more aware of the spiritual world, and more people are talking about getting these downloads and becoming more aware of their spiritual self or their higher self. Does that kind of tie into divine duality?
Yeah, in a way. Mostly I hear people say that duality is so the thing that destroyed humanity and the world, and that we should go back to oneness, that, you know, and center ourselves and go back to oneness. And for me, evolution is never to go back to something, and oneness, it's the one. Duality is the two, but divine duality is the third. So it's instead of seeing duality as two counterparts, that is yes or no, it's a oneness expanded into two different parts to integrate and to cooperate. It's the yin yang energy, and if we understand the yin yang energy, it's a totally ecstasy between the blackness and the light. With the mother and the father, it's ecstasy, and it's all around us. And if we understand this creative energy that is all around us, we understand that everything is getting, when we meet with interest or attraction to something, two counterparts with attraction always meet in the center. And what happens there? It's the birth of the child. And the child is exactly as in human beings. It's not one, the mother or the father. It's a place where source come in and life comes in with a new species. So divine duality is the attraction between counterparts. And not only that, because that is the healing path of our old paradigm, but also it's what we have seen as obstacles, it's actually stepping stones.
Wow, love that. Oh, my goodness, I love that. That is so good. I could not agree more. And it is. It really is. And when you think about that, that obstacles or challenges, are not obstacles. They are. They truly are stepping stones, right? Yes. Because we learn and we grow from them, right? And therefore, essentially, we can't lose.
Right. You know,
we can't lose. We're winners. No. We always win, right? I mean,
yes. Yeah. Always.
And yes.
It's just so marvelous to see word from that perspective, because we carry so much guilt and shame in our lives, and all if we just accept the other angle of looking at life, it's just gone. It's just evaporated. The guilt and the shame and the judgment, because I mean. The creation is love. Love
yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's right. It really is. Creation is love. And it comes from the source, from the universe, from the Father, whatever we want to call it. That is so good.
Mother, Father, in my way of viewing it, it's the mother energy is a void. It's the totally blackness. And the blackness is what's needed for a seed to grow under the earth, for the child in the womb, for the stars to be in place in our universe, for the planets to move their way of movement. Everything is held in place by the void. And the void is actually, in my way of seeing it, it's the mother of consciousness, the light. So in the beginning, there were only darkness. And darkness is potential of nothing and everything. And as everything evolving, it's like sedimenting the energy that has been. So eons after eons of blackness, it start to have the seed for the consciousness to come to life. And the consciousness, when it came into the amount of conscious that it could have, it wanted to make love with the darkness, because it felt the potential, the pure potential, and consciousness always want their idea to be penetrated and fulfilled. So it became a love affair. So for me, a source is a love affair between the mother and the father in the essence of their energy.
Wow, that is profound. Very, very profound. Thank you. I like that. I like it. Now, you're a sound healer and an energy healer. Tell me about that. Like, what do you use? Do you use the sound bowls? Is that what you use?
That's how I started, because I wrote my first book, This Creative Existence, Unfolding a New Conscious World. I came to the essence of creation and understood that sound is the pure first energy. And if we find the most pure frequencies, it's such a healing in them. So I started when I got money to purchase some crystal balls and to get more, and a gong and drums. I created my drum and different. I started to be so much more interested in sound. And also I had in my background to heal myself with sounds, but I didn't think about it by that. It was a CD with planetary sounds. So I started with that, but then a very beautiful friend of me, she told me about Geeta Ben-David and how she works with sound as a vocal sounds, with undertones and hangsong and overtones to shatter cancer and to scan bodies to see where there are some blocks and restrictions. And And so I've taken four courses from her. So my major healing is now done more with my sound and intention. And I work over the net, and also most perfect is, of course, when they can be here in my, you know, in person. But I work so much with people also abroad in different places with wow. the healing.
Very good. You know, you used one word there when you were describing that to me, and you said intention. You work with sound and intention. Tell me about the importance of intention. Because when I think about intention, I think about maybe intention just might be the very first step towards creation. And then when you create, you make change. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. That is something that I really love to be with. You know, we have three different intelligences in our body. We have our mind, we have our heart, and we have our body. And our heart is connected to, it's make us connected to everything if we open our heart. Our body is the the connection with Mother Earth and with the beingness. And survival, it's there in our, but our mind is digital. So our mind, when we have integrated our energy field, as I do with a vertical breath, that the heart energy covers all the body, the brain comes, the digitality gets our own tool instead of ruling us, you know? Because our mind can rush us and just make us think like from the ego and from our stress energy and everything, the mind can really make disasters. But when we are held in the field of the heart, our conscious mind is sharp like a laser. It's embedded in theta waves. And it's theta waves, and it's very, very slow waves that makes the focus so penetrating. So that's why vocal sound is the most healing that I see from my clients, because then the sound is embedded in the intention from the brain and can really be in a laser spot in one spot of the body, where the crystal singing bowls and the Tibetan bowls and the other, they are more average healing. We can always use them with our intention as well, but it's not as strong as when it comes through our own body, through the voice.
Very good. And this is what you teach, right, through your academy. Tell me the name of your academy.
OakRootSpiritualAcademy.com.
Now, you provide courses online, and I know you do it in person in Sweden, but, you know, for the audience here, they're able to go to your website and sign up for different courses. Is that right?
Yeah, I have different also that I didn't put in my website, because I have retreats. I both have, in-person retreats and over the net, and I have sessions healing with Akashic Records and sound healing. Now I have two customers actually that have such a crisis in their lives that they see that they need to reestablish a totally new energy inside. So they are in a program of 4 weeks that I make a totally individual program for them.
Yeah, excellent.
Because everyone is so different. Okay. And the retreats are also so deep. It's like, you know, nothing comes to me if they don't want a change in their life. No one.
right. I get it. You just mentioned the Akashic Records. That is something I've always been interested in, but I've never done a lot of research on it. Yeah. Tell me about how you use the Akashic Records. Do you like literally get information from the Akashic Records in the spiritual world? How does that work?
Exactly. You know, as we have a physical body, and then we have a emotional body, and then a mind body, and then the etheric body, the energy body. Also, the same Earth has the same. It's not only our planet and our physical planet, but it's also have an aura of energy. And it's because we have a material world, a physical world, it's all the information of what has been in the third dimension, in the fourth dimension, and you know, what we have created, what we have thought, we have everything is like stored in this outer field in the fifth dimension. So if we just use again our intention, we need because everyone has their own free will, we need that someone ask us to go there, otherwise we cannot open the Akashic records. But just putting a question into the Akashic records, that is only like the mother, it's pure potential, widespread, no, nothing is there. But when we say put a question on it, all the information are putting together and tell about that sequence, because everything is like a film in this world, and it's already there. We just have to focus on a point and ask accurate questions, and then then the answer is coming, because it's a field of everything that have existed, but it's without form until we penetrate it.
Wow! So you said it's already there. So
yeah.
So these are there different possibilities, say in the future, depending on what you do in the now? If that makes sense. Okay. Necessarily not anything set in stone, but maybe different pathways depending on what you do in the now to lead you to a probable future. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Got it. Makes sense.
We always are sowing our own lands, so that's why it's so important to understand how our energy system, our intelligences work, so that we are the one steering them, and that we are not, you know, just victims of what happens, like circumstances, but we are the creators.
That is so good. And not only are we the creators, I believe that we have so many tools at our disposal.
Yeah.
As well, right? When you talk about the energy healing and the sound healing, because, you know, Source knows that we're going to need things like this as we have this human experience, because we're going to have these challenges, right? Mm-hmm. So he blesses us with these tools such as energy and sound healing as we're here having this healing experience. And we have our guides, right? That are here, and angels to help us. Yeah. So we have all these tools at our disposal, but the big thing is we must be aware of them, right?
Yeah. And connect ourselves.
Connect ourselves.
In my channeling, it's really like we have learned everything from outside, and because we learn all the information from outside and want it to be verified from outside, and to be in a work that has this educational knowledge with it, we have lost our energy field to attract, both to attract, because we don't send from inside, and we have lost our energy of knowing ourselves and to be connected to all that is around us, because we can't be there if we are not connected from inside with ourselves.
Wow.
So first thing is to relearn to take back our authority of our knowledge, that we, as we know so much in just being connected, because everything, all information are there in the field, as in the Akashic records, it is in the nature, it is in our connectiveness to everything. And if we are able to take in those resources, we don't need to store everything in our brain. We can be a vivid energy intelligence and really take new circumstances as if we knew them already. Now we are so so fragile from shifts in the world, because we don't know how to handle anything from that we haven't heard from outside what it is. And we thought that if I take this education, I will be safe. But now nothing is written in stone any longer.
Yeah.
And so everyone are driven to come home to listen inward. That's my opinion anyway.
That's good. That's very good. You know, and like you just said, you know, we're taught if we take this education and learn all of these things from the world, we'll be safe. But in the reality is that that's not true, because if we don't go within, like you said, we're not. We're only safe once we go within and bring out all this awareness and use all these divine tools and gifts that have been given to us. It's almost like it's a trickery, right?
Yeah, I guess
that's what they say when you're living in the matrix, right? They trick you into thinking these different things.
Yeah.
You know, that this is going to make you complete. This is just going to make you whole. But, you know, we're not taught about all the things that you teach your clients and your students, right?
Yeah.
We don't learn about that in the matrix, you know? So we have people like you. I call you a spiritual warrior that, you know, that's out here helping humanity. Mm. So that's great. I want to ask you this, but I think I already know the answer to the question, but I want to ask you anyway. Do you believe in spiritual warfare, that is spiritual warfare going on?
Yeah.
You do. Okay. I thought you'd say that. And I do too. You know, I have some people that I speak with and some people say, no, I don't believe it's spiritual warfare going on, but they're doing a lot of the similar things that you do, but yet they don't believe in spiritual warfare. So I always say to myself, wow, you're out here helping humanity. You're doing all these things, but you don't believe that there's a fight between good and evil, or dark and light. I don't understand why people wouldn't think that there's spiritual warfare.
Yeah, there are absolutely lots of powerful entities, and in many ways, who don't want people to be in their power, and also who don't feel that creation is perfect. They think that you know, they will make a more perfect world with artificial intelligence
Yeah. And we see that, don't we? It's been a huge push within the last few years with AI. In fact, go ahead. What'd you say?
Yeah, but I never go into it, because I know it's there, or I think it's there, I should say, and I can see what's going on, but I'm just concentrated for the love. What I learned from you know, from my hidden address with my daughter's father, is that to win a war is to neutralize your energy. It's to not fight back in any way. Just make yourself blank, hit your root for the light, and don't fight back for anything. Just create your life and zero your energy from that person that wants to have this electric cord towards you, you. So I never in war with anything. I just notice it, you know.
That's good. And that's a great way to protect your energy as well.
Yeah, it is.
You don't use it on doing those things with fighting, right? That's a great form to protect your energy. I love that. And Naya, with everything you have going on, you know, how do you balance your roles as an artist, an author, a leadership coach, and a spiritual guide in your daily life? How do you do it?
Well, with a wonder. I think as an artist, I have a huge wonder of life, and time and space is some way it's a fiction, because when I slow down, I get more time. When I breathe between what I'm doing and allow my gratitude come through for what I see around me, it gives like 1 hour extra energy. You know, and it's giving a space between. I think the space between is the most powerful and important thing that we have. To not rush through a day, but to make things land. Because when we land one thing and then come to the other, they start to associate with each other, and they give each other information instead of being in the, you know, in the chaos. So, so to have different things going on, I don't do them as jobs. They really are like my painting. All of it. It's like it's the tools of the creation.
And beautiful.
It's hard to explain it, but it's. I think time and space is really a fictive energy thing.
Yeah.
You know yourself when you are having a good time, you can be feeling that 5 hours goes like quarter of an hour, and opposite. Sometimes you feel that you have been meditating for 5 hours, but it have just been 15 minutes. You know?
Right. I understand. I definitely understand.
Yeah.
Now we're in March, still early in the year. What do you foresee with how things will play out this year in the world?
Well, first, I'm not an astrologer, so I'm so much living in the now. But when you ask me, I must put myself there and see what I feel. Well, I feel very much what's on already. It will be even more that we have to take care of our lives now, because it's getting more and more divided in the energy of duality, in the other way of perceiving duality. It's getting worse and worse, or more fast, and more people. We will be casted out if we don't go inward and start to learn to know ourselves. Mm. That's what I see.
Very that good.
Everyone are like forced to go further into self-love. That's the biggest recipe. Is to, even though you don't know love at all, how it is, it's to take step by step to acceptance, to get the new perspective of life, because there you will have your new survival instinct in a totally other way than we have had.
Oh, wow. Very good. Thank you. And I do have one final question for you. And this is something I ask each and every guest that comes on the Hidden Gateway podcast. And I would like for you to leave our audience with what I call a token of love. And that's simply something that you feel that they need to hear in this very moment, in this now moment, that they can take with them as they continue their journeys. It can be anything. It can be a minute. It can be 3, 4, 5 minutes. But whatever you feel the audience needs to hear.
Okay. Just think about something that maybe bother you, and put your two hands on the upper part of your heart, on your chest, and ask you the question of the same question that you did that made you suffer, to see there's no judgment. There are no judgment in the higher heart, and there are no judgment in the world of counterparts matching each other. So when you feel that something is really bothering you, or make you having grief or sadness or anger can be a powerful gift to really as an empowering energy as well. But if you feel them, feel that they are the stepping stones into next level of yourself. And yeah, that's it. I don't know how to explain it even more, but we something that is good to know, it's our chakras and our lower heart. It's always the one caring very much for everything, and also want to need to earn things. And when we just lift our energy up to the higher heart, it's our higher consciousness, it's our higher self that is in role of that knowledge, and all is shifting in that moment, and we can just get some peace, because give yourself peace is the most powerful and important thing to do.
Wow.
Not to go into the to to the battle, to care about your own field instead of the things going on, because the field is the one that creates you. So create of, so care for you, the energy that you carry, that you take in, and give yourself the energy that makes you safe and in peace and hopefully in love. Yeah.
Absolutely love that. Give yourself peace. Ooh, that hits hard for me. Give yourself peace. I need to give myself a little more peace these days. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ayanna. I appreciate you so much. And please tell the audience where they can find you, your website, your books, if you have any social media. How can people get in contact with you?
Yeah, you're so welcome to my webpage. You find it all there. It's W3Ws and OakRootSpiritualAcademy.com. And you can have a free discovery session and just see what can be for you, because it's always hard to understand how to go on with life and what will be the best in that circumstance. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And thank you again for being a guest on the Hidden Gateway podcast.
Oh, it's...
I send positive energy, love, and blessings your way. Thank you for doing what you do for humanity. And you're going to do even more, even greater for people out of love.
My love. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And to our audience, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. As always, stay connected with us at thehiddengateway.com. If you want to speak with us, send us an email at support@thehiddengateway.com. And thank you, as always, for pushing your mindset towards a better reality. Now, this will conclude this week's episode. Until next time, stay positive, stay questioning, be love, and be free. The Hidden Gateway, out.